नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्णा सो वी वेलकम ऑल द डिवोटीज सो टुडे वी आर गोइंग टू डिस्कस फ्रॉम द नेक्स्ट चैप्टर बट सम पोर्शन ऑफ द लास्ट चैप्टर रिमेन्स सो वी डिस्कस्ड लास्ट वीक हाउ Vasudeva is trying to pacify Kamsa by giving various types of arguments and reasons and logic. And then, when Kamsa hears these words of Vasudeva, he is moved by seeing the sincerity of Vasudeva. So therefore, the great souls are characterized by their integrity, by their values, by their good behavior. And as a result of this, even those who are demoniac by nature are affected, are influenced. So therefore here, it is described that when Kamsa heard these words of Vasudeva, he was also influenced. And he put faith on Vasudeva. And he said, okay, whenever you get your children, you bring them to me. So in this way, the first child of Vasudeva was born, and the first child was named Kirtiman by Vasudeva, and immediately Vasudeva took that child and brought him to Kamsa. So why Vasudeva bore the child very fast? So first reason is that he had already given his word to Kamsa and he did not want to break his promise. And secondly, Vasudeva decided that the faster I go through this series of children, the faster I will have an opportunity to see Krishna. So Vasudeva's only goal in life was to see Krishna, to take darshan of Krishna. And because he was so eager for Krishna, he was willing to pay any price to see Krishna. And that is exactly the whole message behind the celebration of Janmashtami. We celebrate Janmashtami to honor and glorify Krishna's descent into this world. But there is a glorious prelude to Krishna's descent, and that is the fantastic sacrifice which is made by his devotees, the price they pay, the eagerness they show, the greed they display to see Krishna, willingness to go through all kinds of crises, distresses and problematic situations just to see Krishna. So although Krishna was supposed to appear as the eighth child, still you can imagine no parent wants to see his children being mercilessly, cruelly murdered. And therefore, even if Vasudeva knew that Krishna is going to come and appear, and that too on the basis of that Akashvani, so can you imagine the ordeal one has to go through to see six innocent children being murdered? So therefore the easier thing would have been not to bear any children at all. Because one might have felt, an ordinary person might have felt, it is so difficult to go through this crisis. Who will tolerate this? It is so difficult to see one's own child being smashed on the rocks inside the prison. So therefore, Krishna consciousness means intense eagerness and willingness to pay any price and go through any distress and crisis to see Krishna. And the proof of this is Vasudeva and Devaki were willing to go through the ordeal, the torture, the torment of seeing 6 of their beloved children smashed and killed. So are we ready to see this kind of a situation in our life? So therefore the celebration of Janmashtami is a celebration of this mood of the devotee, willingness to pay a price. And therefore Srila Prabhupada said, a devotee is not eager to be free from distress. He is eager only to see Krishna at any cost. And so Chaitanya Charitamrita describes, Ei madhuryamrita pana sadayai kore Trishna shanti bina trishna bade nirantare. The sweetness of Krishna is so intoxicating. A devotee is so intensely attached to see Krishna and he goes on drinking this beauty of Krishna that Trishna shanti nahi. This Trishna or the thirst for Krishna does not decrease, but it goes on decreasing. Trishna shanti nahi, Trishna badhe nirantare. And therefore, as the eagerness goes on increasing, then finally Krishna reciprocates. And so this is a very important principle. And Vasudeva and Devaki are demonstrating. Srila Prabhupada was in Juhu land and there were so many problems. But Srila Prabhupada made a promise to Srila Radharas Bihari that I will make a temple for you in spite of all these problems. So he just folded his hands one day and he was speaking one on one to Radharas Bihari ji and he was just requesting, whatever may happen, you should not leave this place, you just stay here, I will build a temple for you. So he was in the mood of protecting these deities and willing to go through all kinds of torture. Practically everyone else wanted to leave because the anxieties were too much. And oftentimes devotees would come and tell Prabhupada that we have come to Krishna consciousness to become free from anxiety. And after coming to Krishna consciousness, why we have to go through so many anxieties? And Prabhupada had brought a bunch of Western disciples to India who had no idea practically how to deal with Indian labor, Indian contractor. Even Indians can't deal with them many times. So a group of people who are intensely trying to cheat you and mislead you, and these disciples who had practically come off college, come off the streets and no other kind of training, but now they were handling huge projects worth lakhs of rupees. And naturally there were so many problems dealing with all kinds of people. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj mentioned to Srila Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, when I am dealing with all of these construction and all of these other temple related activities, I am in so much of anxiety, I cannot chant my rounds properly. And Prabhupada said, do not think that I am not affected. Even I am in anxiety. And many times, I also start feeling how this temple will be built. But then, when I am in anxiety, there is only one formula. Chant Hare Krishna loudly. And then even devotees would see that Prabhupada not only preached this, but also practiced. And when there would be some crisis, some letter he would receive, Prabhupada would pace up and down and he would start chanting Hare Krishna loudly. And then he told the devotees that when Arjuna was on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna did not tell Arjuna that I am the Supreme Lord, I am the all-powerful controller, I can take care of everything. You just sit in the back of the chariot and smoke ganja and go to sleep. I will take care of the battle. No. He was fighting. Krishna was guiding Arjuna, but Arjuna had to fight. Therefore Prabhupada said, if we have to make these temples, if we have to spread this mission, we have to take a lot of anxieties. And therefore a devotee must become mature after coming to this movement. So initially one may come because there are anxieties. There are job problems or family problems or relationship problems or this problem, that problem. But after coming inside and after coming to this movement and after receiving the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the Lord, and once all our different kinds of problems are solved and we become free from the influence of the modes, then gradually we have to take more and more responsibility, and that means taking more and more anxieties for Krishna. So as Prabhupada said, when the British government changed, only one thing changed, the rubber stamp. The buildings were same. All you see these buildings near VT, they are all the same from British times. So everything remained the same, but what changed previously, it was the British crown, that was the seal, now it is the Indian government seal. Only that changed. So when you come to Krishna consciousness, activities may remain more or less the same, but now the consciousness must change. So previously we were taking anxieties for sense gratification, now we have to take anxieties for Krishna. So the seal must change. So previously the seal was having Maya, and now we have to use the Krishna seal and do it for Krishna. So Prabhupada was sitting and these devotees were showing him all these maps of Jew land. And someone came and said to Prabhupada some latest bad news, that how it is even more difficult to get this temple done. And Prabhupada just closed his eyes and there was a tear which flowed from his eye, and that fell on that map. And the devotee said that Krishna does not want to waste even one single tear of his pure devotee. And because Prabhupada took so many anxieties, so Krishna reciprocated. Otherwise the simplest and easiest thing to do was close down and go. So here Vasudeva and Devaki going through so many anxieties so that finally they can see Krishna. And that is the most important principle. Kim dussaham nu sadhunam vidushyam kim apekshitam kim akaryam kadaryanam dustyajam kim dhritatmanam. So question can be asked, how can Vasudev take his own child to Kamsa, knowing fully well that Kamsa is going to destroy my child? So was Vasudev not a loving father? How can a loving father allow his own child to be murdered like this? So the answer is given, kim dussaham nu sadhunam. So great sadhus, great souls, they can tolerate any kind of difficulty. And therefore Vasudeva was a great sadhu, and therefore he was willing to go through any kind of difficulty and distress. That's fine, someone may be a great sadhu, but what about attachment of a father for a child? Even Arjuna himself was so attached to his own son, Abhimanyu. And when Abhimanyu was killed, even Arjuna was crying. So seeing that Arjuna is crying, that Krishna also started crying. So Arjuna asking Krishna, that I lost my son, so I am crying. Why are you crying? So Krishna told Arjuna that I spoke the entire Gita to you, and after hearing the whole Gita, you are still crying. Seeing that, I am crying. So Pedavarmat Maharaj explains this, that Arjuna at that time was momentarily overcome by feelings of affection, which is natural. Even if you are a pure devotee, there is always affection. But the test was, Arjuna did not give up his sense of duty. So fine, someone may be a sadhu, but how still can he go ahead and give his own son to be murdered. So the next line says, Vidushyam kim apekshitam. So not only was he a great soul, but Vidushyam, he was very, very intelligent and he had a good sense of discrimination. So he had knowledge of the Shastras and he knew how to discriminate. And therefore, using his discriminating intelligence, he could understand that the best thing to be done at this stage is to give this child to Kamsa, because finally Krishna will appear because of this. So not only Vasudeva was a magnanimous soul, a sadhu, but he was very intelligent and he knew exactly what decision to take when. And then the question is asked, how can Kamsa take a small child and destroy this child like this? And that too his own sister's child. So the verse says, Kim akaryam kadaryanam. So kadaryana means cruel hearted man. Kim akaryam? What a cruel hearted man will not do. And the last is, Dustyajam kim dhritatmanam. Dustyajam means which is worth giving up. Kim dhritatmanam. So one who is self-controlled, who is completely Krishna conscious. What he is not willing to go through to see Krishna. That is the most important principle. And therefore, Vasudeva was willing to go through anything and everything simply to see Krishna. The price he was eager to pay to see Krishna. Therefore, Janmashtami is a festival where we meditate on this principle of sacrifice. Vasudeva and Devaki could see Krishna because they were willing to pay the price. So, are we willing to pay the price to see Krishna? Are we willing to sacrifice our sense of false ego, our own personal comforts? Are we willing to keep aside our own personal agenda to go through all kinds of difficulties for Krishna's sake? Are we willing to sacrifice for the sake of Srila Prabhupada's mission and practice this process of Krishna consciousness with great commitment throughout our whole life, day after day, year after year, decade after decade? The same thing goes on. So we have to be willing to pay this price and go through lots and lots of difficulties, and only then we will be rewarded with the sweet fruit of Krishna's darshan. Therefore, Chaitanya Charitamrita says that to see Krishna's form is practically the perfection of one's vision. Right. That the eyes have been given. But what is the perfection of eyes? Gopyas tapas kimacharam yadamushya rupam lavanyasaram. The gopis were given these eyes, but they used it to their perfection to see Krishna. And therefore, the perfection of vision is to see Krishna. That is the meaning of perfection. Yei jana Krishna dekhi sei bhagyavan. And hence, Krishna avalokan bina netra duinayan. Yei jana Krishna dekhi sei bhagyavan. Krishna avalokan bina netra phalanahiyan. If the eyes have been given, the purpose of the eyes is to see Krishna. Krishna avalokan bina netra vina nahi aan. Krishna avalokan. The eyes have been given to see Krishna, but very, very few fortunate souls will actually have the vision to see Krishna. Yei jana Krishna dekhi sei bhagyavan. So if you want to be Bhagyavan or fortunate, if we have to develop that fortune to see Krishna, then we have to go through a lot of misfortune. We have to be willing to go through tons of misfortune in this material world, and only then we can have the perfection of being fortunate to see Krishna. So perfection means to use a certain object for the purpose for which it is used. Just like this clip is there. I was giving example in IIT. Right? This clip can be used for many things. It can be used as decoration for the ear. Right? Earring. It can be used to press the nose. Or if the audience wants to shut up the speaker, it can be used to shut up the mouth. Right? And I was asking the students, tell me different ways in which you can use this. So someone said to wake up person in the morning, pinch him, you know, or pull the hair. So many innovative ideas they were coming up with as how you could use this one clip. Right? This is a too big a forum, so we can't have this game here. But you can think of 108 ways in which this clip can be used. And your mind will race and come up with so many innovative ideas. Someone said, sometimes when we are cooking, then the chimta is not there for chapati, this can be used. So these are all various ways in which this can be used. But why this has been made? The manufacturer who made this, manufactured with a purpose for using it as paper clip. So the perfection of this clip is when it is used for tying up a bunch of papers. So why the creator has made the eye? Why the eye has been made? To see some naked form? To see some various activities of sense gratification? Why these eyes have been made? To see movies? To see billboards? To see television? That is all like using this for nose pressing, mouth pressing, ear pressing business. It is as ridiculous as that. Krishna avalokan vina netra phala nahi aan, jai jana Krishna dekhi sei bhagyavan. So perfection of the eyes, the manufacturer has made these eyes not for seeing all kinds of sense objects. When a manufacturer has made this to see the form of the Lord. That is the perfection. Just like perfection of this clip is when it is used for this. And therefore, we should be willing to pay the price so that we can use this for that purpose. So unless you pay the price, you won't be able to use it also. So the price you have to pay is to go through all kinds of ups and downs and difficulties in life. One lady disciple was accused by some other devotees of having some affair with some other male devotee, and she was in great distress. She approached Srila Prabhupada and said, I am innocent and people are talking ill about me. They are saying this, they are saying that. I am disturbed. And Prabhupada said, what do you think? I am not disturbed by so many things happening all over ISKCON. But do not expect a calm sea in the material world. Jai Shri Radha Gopinath Ji ki, Tai Gaur Chandra ki, Girdhari Gopal ki. So the problem with you is you are expecting a calm sea in the material world. Bhavasagar, material world means it is always in tempest, disturbed. So therefore, after Krishna is born, definitely there is celebration. And then we also sing, Nanda ke ananda bhayo jay kanaiya lal ki. But before that, it is so much of pain, distress, suffering, tears for Vasudev and Devaki. And then only Krishna makes his descent. So then, at this stage, it is seen that Vasudeva and Devaki, they bring all these six children, and Kamsa kills or at this stage Kamsa returns the first child back. So the demigods, they approach Srila Narad Muni, and Narad Muni approaches Kamsa. And then Narad Muni approaches Kamsa, Kamsa welcomes him, gives him a nice seat, and then Narad Muni says, "So Kamsa, I have heard from the demigods, I have heard that the demigods are making great plans. On my way here to your palace, I saw a huge congregation of demigods, all seated together and making all kinds of plans. I don't know what they were planning, but it could be anything." So Kamsa got little suspicious. And then Narad Muni, he took one lotus flower, and then he told Kamsa, that, "Okay Kamsa, you have this lotus flower, which is the first petal of the lotus and which is the eighth petal of the lotus." And Kamsa got bewildered, that this is lotus, how can there be first and eighth? So Narad Muni says, "That is what I am saying. You are returning first child, fully confident, nothing will happen, but who knows? This first and eighth is according to whose calculation? And you can never trust these demigods, you know. And with numbers you can never believe. Anytime they may come and say, 'No, there was this mistake, this, that. After all, it is only Akashvani, nobody has seen.'" So Kamsa was provoked. And so why Narad Muni provoked Kamsa? So Vishwanatha Chakra Thakur in Sararth Darshini is giving various reasons that Narad Muni wanted to have the personal joy of seeing the Lord, and also he wanted to give joy to the demigods so that they can have darshan of the Lord fast. Then he wanted to give joy to Vasudeva and Devaki because they were eager to see the Lord, and the faster Kamsa kills the other children, faster Krishna would descend. And he wanted to increase the eagerness of Vasudeva and Devaki to see the Lord. And he wanted to shower in the intense devotion of Vasudeva and Devaki. He also wanted to see that Kamsa be killed fast. Kamsa should be destroyed as fast as possible. And he wanted to get the blessings of the great devotees, especially Vasudeva and Devaki. And so he made this very confidential offering. And he wanted to make Kamsa favorable to himself by presenting false friendship. So Narada Muni, he provoked Kamsa. So externally he appears to be against Krishna's cause, but actually he is for Krishna. And most people who do not follow the proper understanding of the Vaishnava Shastras, they misunderstand Srila Narad Muni and his motives. And typically in all your Hindi movies you will find that Narad Muni is portrayed as a very negative personality. Right? And all these characters who play Narad Muni, they always play a kind of a crooked role. So God knows what is going to happen to them in future for this kind of offense. But Narad Muni is the greatest personality, and whatever he does is with absolute pure motives for pleasing Krishna. So at this stage Kamsa, he kills the six children of Vasudeva and Devaki. And now we go on to the next chapter, which is entitled Prayers by Demigods to Krishna in the Womb. And we will come to the prayer section later in the next class, but before that what happens is we will see Kamsa's persecutions and Krishna ordering Yogamaya and Mayadevi performing these activities as a humble servant of Krishna. Then Devaki's miscarriage and Krishna is transferred from Vasudeva to Devaki, the whole process of Krishna's appearance. And then Devaki, when she is carrying Krishna within herself, how she appears. And Kamsa's response on seeing that effulgence of Devaki. And Kamsa, at a certain stage, becomes Krishna conscious. You know, so that mystery. How can Kamsa become Krishna conscious? What kind of Krishna conscious is that? So negatively, he becomes Krishna conscious. And then the prayers by the demigods. The demigods appear and they offer prayers to Krishna in the womb. So at this stage, Kamsa, he aligns himself with Jarasandha and various kinds of demons like Putana, Aghasur, Bakasur, Vatsasur, Keshi, Vyoma. These are all great mystic demons. So Kamsa calls all of these great demons and he decides to make strategies to destroy Krishna and persecute the demigods. So the Yadavas, all of them are persecuted and they go and hide in various other provinces of the Kuru and the Panchalas. And in this way, some of these devotees, they stayed with Kamsa. Some of the Yadavas, they stayed with Kamsa specifically with a desire to see Krishna's descent. And prime amongst them was Akrura. So someone may wonder, how could Akrura stay with Kamsa in Mathura? Because Akrura wanted to see Krishna. And he wanted to see the pastimes of Krishna. And he thought that as soon as Krishna is born, I'll have the opportunity to have darshan of Krishna. With that motive, some of them also stayed. So at this stage, after the 6 children have been slain, Krishna orders Yogamaya that you should actually transfer Balaramji, who is within the womb, from Devaki's womb to Rohini. So it is described in this verse, Bhagavan api vishvatma viditva kamsajam bhayam yadunam nijanathanam yogamayam samadishat. So Yogamaya is instructed. So Krishna is offering instructions to Yogamaya, who is just a humble servant of Krishna. So what is that instruction? Transfer Shesha from Devaki to Rohini. Devakyam jathare garbham Sheshakyam dhama mamakam Tanni Krishna Rohinya udare sanniveshaya. And because Balram is attracted from Devaki's womb to Rohini's womb, he is known as Sankarshan. So the question is asked, first of all, why Shesha or why Balramji had to appear in Devaki's womb if his eternal mother is Rohini? If Balram is known as Rohini Nandan, why he had to appear as the son of Devaki or in Devaki's womb? So the answer is, because Balram is the original servitor of the Lord, he had to prepare the bed and the resting place for the Lord to appear. So Balramji entered into Devaki's womb and established Anantashesha, his expansion. And because the Lord always rests on Anantashesha, so Ananta or Anantashesha was established as the foundation for the Lord to rest, and the whole place was purified. And therefore, anywhere the temple foundation is made, before the foundation is laid in the ground laying ceremony, there is a ceremony where Anantashesha is established first. And then the Anantashesha established, then on top of that, the whole temple is built. So therefore, before Krishna appears, his resting place appears. And so Balramji appears there and creates the facilities. And then the next question is, if Devaki is completely spiritual and Devaki has a spiritual form, how could these 6 sons of Marichi, who are completely material, how could material sons appear to Devaki, who was completely spiritual? So you know that Brahmaji had become bewildered by seeing the beauty of his daughter. So he was running behind her. At this time, the 6 sons of Marichi, they laughed. They committed an offense to Brahmaji, as a result of which they were cursed to be born as the 6 sons of Devaki, and they would be killed by Kamsa. So the question is, if they are fulfilling certain reactions of certain curse within the material world, how could an eternal associate of the Lord like Devaki have any contact with a material concept? So the answer is given that Krishna consciousness is a perfect balance. It's a perfect combination between all different energies of the Lord. The spiritual, the material and marginal. And depending on how all of these are used in context with Krishna, they develop their certain potency. So even matter, when used in Krishna's service, becomes spiritual. So Prabhupada has a famous statement, absolute covered over by matter is Maya. And that same matter dovetailed in the cause of the absolute regains its spiritual quality. So therefore, as the material universes exist in the Supreme Lord, but the Supreme Lord is not contaminated. So in order to demonstrate this principle of achintya bheda bhed tattva, masthani sarabhutani, that even if my energies are material, but ultimately they are emanating from me. So therefore spiritual and material can exist simultaneously. The soul can reside right within this body and still not be contaminated by the influence of this body. So in order to demonstrate this principle, we find that although Devaki is completely spiritual, still these sons of Marich were completely material, they appeared. But one should not be confused by this. And now at this stage, we have to discuss about this principle of why they appeared from Devaki's womb. So another very important principle is established. What was the purpose? So Krishna wanted to demonstrate the methodical nature of bhakti. Krishna wanted to demonstrate that perfection in Krishna consciousness means you actually see Krishna. So Krishna Janma means Krishna appears. Krishna appears from the womb of Devaki. Devaki represents bhakti. So if Krishna has to manifest as a result of bhakti, then before that, certain processes one has to go through. And it is methodical, systematic. And that is, these six sons of Marich, they represent the six different interactions of the senses with the sense objects. Or they also represent the six types of anarthas. So initially when we practice bhakti, then our practice of bhakti is tinged with desire for enjoying sense objects. And therefore we are attracted to Krishna consciousness because this Krishna consciousness process does not just crush all our enjoyment but provides us alternate enjoyment. And therefore we are practicing bhakti, but there is a major impetus of enjoying facilities in Krishna consciousness. There is a major impetus of enjoying objects of this world. We are still not purified in our vision. And therefore, gradually, this propensity to enjoy things of this world must decrease. And that is the most important principle. That to the extent we are attached to this sense enjoyment, to that extent, we will not be able to see Krishna. Like I tell this story of Prabhupada was invited for a rock festival. And Prabhupada was debating a lot whether he should go or not, and finally he decided to go. And when Srila Prabhupada entered, he saw that on the stage there were various hippies who were dressed up like bananas. They had this dress of bananas. You know, they had covered themselves with dress and it looked like bananas. And Prabhupada was bewildered to see that, and he said, "What is this? What are they doing? Why they are dancing dressed like banana?" And they said, "This is banana dance." So Prabhupada said, "What is the meaning of this?" And they said, "Recently they have found out that if they take the banana peel and they put fire underneath and they inhale the smoke of the banana peel, it has the same effect as LSD. So they have found an alternative, cheap remedy for this LSD. And they are having the same effect. So they are ecstatic and they are celebrating with this banana dance. And Prabhupada thought, I have seen lot of uses of banana in India, but never saw this one. Never conceived that one day banana, which is always used for yajna, for sacrifice, will be used as an alternative to LSD. So Prabhupada went, did his kirtan, and then came back, and he was laughing, still thinking about what he saw there. And a devotee came and he said, Prabhupada, Gargamuni Prabhu came and he offered one proposal to Prabhupada, that the hippies have made a proposal to us. And they have said that every day they will send one crate of bananas for our Jagannath deities, but on the condition that they want the peels back. So what should we do? Should we accept or not? And Prabhupada started laughing. And he said, what can be done? Because they are so attached to their LSD. But at least the good thing I see that they are willing to offer something to Krishna. So let us accept that. And by the process of continuously offering something to Krishna, maybe they will become purified. So when Krishna, he spoke the Gita, patram pushpam phalam toyam, he may not have thought of this kind of an offering. That only the fruit, not the peel. But Prabhupada saw enjoyment propensity is there. So all of us have this propensity to enjoy in gross and subtle ways. So Krishna consciousness is defined as your ability to see this entire world as Krishna sees it. It is a deep statement. Your ability to see Krishna consciousness means seeing Krishna, seeing this world the way Krishna sees it. Because each one of us has a certain way of seeing this world. Right? Like yesterday someone was asking in JJ that you're talking about being material and spiritual, but ultimately, you know, what is the problem? Even material can become spiritual. We are talking so much about materialism and this and that. Everything is energy of God only. So everything is ultimately belonging to God. So I said, okay, you tell me, Aishwarya Rai is material or spiritual? So he started wondering. So another fellow said, she is actually spiritual but right now covered over with matter and this and that. I said, okay, when you meditate on her, do spiritual emotions develop? I said, no. So that means, right now you don't have the vision. So we have a certain vision. When we see some beautiful sense object, we want to enjoy in a certain way. So when a young boy sees a young girl, beautiful girl, if someone sees Aishwarya Rai movie and sees her form, they will have a certain desire. But if mosquito sees her, what will be mosquito's vision? Will mosquito consider that Miss World is here or Miss Universe is here? Mosquito will think blood bank. Right? Feast. So that is mosquito's vision. So everyone has a certain vision. But when we start seeing things of this world the way Krishna sees, that is Krishna consciousness. That means every object we see the way Krishna has created it for using in His service, for His enjoyment. So Krishna has created things for His enjoyment. Everything exists for His enjoyment. And the material world is a replica created for those under illusion. But as soon as one comes into knowledge, he realizes, I must use everything for His service. That is Krishna conscious vision. Like there was one devotee, Chitta Hari Prabhu, and he brought his mother to meet Srila Prabhupada. And he was introducing his mother, saying, this is my mother, and you know, she has given blessings that I can join And Prabhupada told his mother that your son is a very nice boy and is doing very good service in our movement. And Chittari Prabhu's mother said that, Swamiji, I have 8 other sons. Prabhupada said, we can have all of them. No problem. We can use them in service of the Lord. But I am very happy that you are allowing your sons to be used in Krishna's service. That is to your credit. So one may have property, money, family, everything. But the change comes when you start using and seeing things as how we can use in Krishna's service. So therefore, initially the vision is to enjoy, but then the vision is to use them in the Lord's service. And how this transformation takes place, or at what is that parameter which decides the rate at which this transformation will take place? How fast, how sooner or how later will this enjoyment propensity convert to a service attitude? That most important determining factor is fear. Fear of material existence. So why we want to enjoy? Because we think that objects of this world can give us pleasure. But the sooner you realize the naked reality behind the facade of this material world, you will understand that the faster I give up this enjoyment propensity, the easier it will be for me to advance in Krishna consciousness. So therefore, initially, everything appears to be enjoyable. But then with knowledge and detachment, gradually we realize this material world is a fearful place. It's a fearful place, filled with all kinds of anxieties. And therefore I have given this example before, that Krishna has already stamped it, Dukkhalayam, Ashashvatam. It's a place of misery. No pleasure available. If someone makes a manufactures washing machine and advertises, buy this washing machine, it is definitely going to give you a heavy electric shock as soon as you touch it. Electric shock guaranteed. And your clothes will be chopped into small fine pieces. Guaranteed. Please use it. Value for your money. Convert your clothes to rags. Buy this machine. How many people will buy? But Krishna has already advertised, still we are buying. So when do we stop doing this kind of thing? When we get conviction, yes, this place is actually a place of misery. So when that fear develops, that what will happen if I keep taking birth? It's a place of misery. And what Krishna says is true. Because initially few years we keep hearing, and we think it's a very interesting concept Krishna has mentioned. Material world, place of misery. Sounds interesting, worth thinking about. So when our enjoyment continues, we keep chanting Hare Krishna, at the same time, whatever chance we get for sense enjoyment, we also go through that. But then at a certain point, you have to take a strong decision. I have to change. It's a place of fear. So Kamsa represents that fear. Devaki was always afraid of Kamsa, that Kamsa will come and kill my children. So Kamsa represents fear of material existence. So it is a fearful place. And Prabhupada explains, fearful means at any moment anything can happen. So body looks very nice, wonderful, any moment deadly diseases. Immediate death, accidents, miseries. So are we fearful of material existence? So to the extent we become fearful, to that extent we become serious about not enjoying. And that fear of material existence will kill those desires for enjoying sense objects, just as Kamsa killed those 6 sons of Marich. So if you want that enjoyment propensity to be destroyed, then one must start having healthy fear. And that's most important. So therefore, Prabhupada, he gives a very nice formula that one has to remember that sense gratification is nothing but poison in different flavors. And there are two main obstacles when a person leaves devotional service. There are two reasons why a person leaves bhakti after coming to this process. One is not enough happiness in Krishna consciousness. And number two is not sufficient fear or distress on leaving Krishna consciousness. Not enough fear of the distress one is going to face on leaving Krishna consciousness. And therefore, even if one is not fully satisfied and one may not be in ecstasy, in trance while chanting Hare Krishna, at least that fear of what will happen if I leave this process should keep us in this movement. And therefore, this fear of material existence is very important. And that keeps us from trying to enjoy the objects of this world. Otherwise, even so many so-called yogis and sadhus, they practice this process, but because they do not understand this philosophy of fear, that material world is a fearful place, so they have double standards and they keep enjoying things of this world. So then when this fear is there, gradually what happens is all of these different enjoyment propensities are destroyed. And who takes birth? When this propensity for enjoyment is destroyed, then service attitude develops and personification of service, Sri Balram enters. So Balramji, who is the personification, who is the supreme personality of servitor Godhead, enters when propensities for enjoyment destroyed. So both are opposite to each other. Therefore Prabhupada said Krishna consciousness and sense gratification go ill together. Ill together. And this word practically none of us had heard before coming to Hare Krishna. Sense gratification. Anyone had heard this before? Sense gratification. It's a unique term. You know, first time you sit in lecture you keep hearing at least 10 times sense gratification. And you are wondering what this is. What exactly is meaning? So previously we never heard this, we were only doing it. We only believed in doing it, not hearing about it. Sense gratification. And most of us didn't even know what is the meaning of the senses and sense objects. But after coming to Hare Krishna, then gradually we become aware. So therefore, now when this enjoyment propensity is destroyed, then only we can take serious responsibility in the mission of Srila Prabhupada. And then we can do many things. Therefore Prabhupada said, purity is the force. So you may have various preaching techniques, you may have various methods, various ideas, all kinds of things, but if you are interacting with things of this world, then you will be agitated. And rather than giving Krishna, you will rather be seeing objects of this world with a view to enjoy. And then where is the potency? Where is the power? Therefore, if we want to create any impact with terms to Krishna consciousness on this world, then it is our major responsibility to become purified. That is the greatest service we can do. Only when we become sufficiently purified, then our words and our actions will have impact on people of this world. Because preaching means the experience of happiness one is going through which affects others. So preaching is not a matter of techniques. Preaching is not a matter of a few ideas clubbed together and presented attractively. It is the individual potency and purity of a person which affects others. So therefore Srila Prabhupada said, if you just give me 8 people, we can take over the whole world in 18 days. right? But then you need people of that caliber. So one Srila Prabhupada sufficient to create impact all over the world. Because absolutely no desire to enjoy, complete, utter surrender to the mission of the Lord. And therefore, whatever it may take to protect that purity by chanting Hare Krishna every day, by following principles every day, by hearing Bhagavatam every day, we are increasing the level of our purity. Nothing is more important than that. Nothing is more precious. The greatest service we can do in this world is by distributing that potency of that purity. Because every other professional in the world has certain skills, but he does not have this which a devotee can have, which is a spiritual purity. And this cannot be bought with any amount of cash. And therefore, one must never compromise on this principle. And so it is the responsibility of devotee that when he is chanting Hare Krishna, at the same time he must avoid all types of objects of the senses as much as possible. Television, radio, newspaper, magazine, nonsense, all of these things only throwing mud on our purity and decreasing our potency. And to that extent we become weak. And hence, it cannot create sufficient impact. And one cannot even survive for a very long time. Therefore, this is a very, very important concept, that when that enjoyment propensity is destroyed, the Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead enters, Balaramji. And then, when that service attitude generates, that service attitude, when it reaches its perfection, will result in Krishna appearing from the core of our heart. And hence, this entire pastime of Krishna appearing from Devaki's womb is to explain the methodical nature of bhakti, that how we give up propensity to enjoy, how we develop service attitude, and then how finally Krishna appears. This is a very, very important principle. And so we find here that now, Athahamamsha bhagena devakyam putratam shubhe. So Krishna is ordering to Yogamaya that you appear as Yashoda's daughter, and then later you will come here in the womb of Devaki. So he is calling her Shubhe, means, O pure one, affectionately. So she is wondering, how is it possible for me to transfer Balaramji? I am potency and he is the potent. So how can I have the power to transfer Balaram? So Krishna is saying, by my mercy, you can do anything. So Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Pravartan. If Krishna gives the potency, Krishna gives the empowerment and mercy, anything can happen. So therefore he is encouraging Yogamaya, do not think using logic that how can Balaram, who is my first expansion, who is my Swamsha, how can he be transferred? No. I am giving instruction, my words are infallible, I will give the power. You just do it. So in this way, Yogamaya offers to be the instrument in this process. And then he says that you will also be worshipped in so many various ways. And so, at this stage, Yogamaya hears these instructions of Krishna and says, Sandishta evam bhagavati tatheti om iti tadvacha. She agrees with Krishna immediately. And she says, yes. And she also confirms by saying om. So two kinds of confirmation she gives that she will follow Krishna's instruction. One is she says, yes, I will do it. And that is an informal affirmation. But she makes it formal by actually adding a Vedic mantra, om. So therefore in spiritual life, we have a commitment. But when that commitment becomes formal, and we get connected to the Vedic process, and we may have to go through certain Vedic processes, and that formalizes our relationship. So even Maya Devi herself is accepting Krishna's words as Vedic injunctions. So no argument, and she just accepts. And Prabhupada writes in that purport, this is the most important principle, that Krishna's verbal instructions are taken as Vedic injunctions, Veda Vakya, and Vedic injunctions cannot be violated or neglected. Even Maya Devi herself does not do so. So therefore, most people, they do not have faith in the Vedic injunctions, and they make all kinds of various concoctions. Like Vedas say cow's milk is very pure, but there are so many people who say that cow's milk is not good, cow's blood is better, so rather kill and eat the flesh. Or some leaders in India, they were also making propaganda that goat's milk is better than cow's milk, and nowhere in Vedas this goat's milk is mentioned. Right, so from where they are getting this idea? By drinking goat's milk. What else can be said? The Vedas, they are giving injunctions which have to be accepted as it is. And the proof is Maya Devi, who is the supreme all-powerful potency of the Lord, she is completely surrendering to the instructions. So now, and Prabhupada himself was very heavy, and Prabhupada's favorite parameter for doing that was the moon issue. Man never went to the moon, and people were getting bewildered by hearing that. And what was Prabhupada's logic? Prabhupada just said one thing: which comes first, Sunday or Monday? And he would say that sun is closer and moon is farther. So moon is so far, how can you go and come back? Not possible. So people were even more bewildered. Sun is closer than the moon. Prabhupada said, yes, Sunday comes first, Monday comes later. Any problem? So nobody could actually have that kind of a conviction. And even big scientists were coming with all their PhDs, and the only logic Prabhupada used was Sunday and Monday. And if you agreed, fine. If not, so many people left who didn't have that faith. So therefore, Prabhupada's idea was the Vedas, the scriptures are saying, even today we were reading in Lilamrita, that one devotee left and Prabhupada was saying, okay, he may have felt I am wrong, but how could he doubt the Vedas? How could he doubt the Vedic injunctions? Vedic injunctions means must be followed. So therefore Maya Devi accepts Krishna's words as Vedic injunctions. And now Devaki, at this stage, when she becomes free from Balramji, Balramji is transferred to Rohini, it appears she has had a miscarriage. And there is a huge tumult in the whole palace of Kamsa. And now Vasudev, he approaches Devaki. And now it is time for Krishna to appear. Bhagavan api vishvatma bhaktanam abhayankara. So the verse says, Krishna is Bhagavan. So one should not think that this transfer which is going to take place is mundane. We are discussing the appearance and descent of no personality less than Bhagavan, who is Vishwatma, who is already present in the heart as Paramatma, as Super Soul. So it is not that Krishna has appeared as a mundane child from some other place. And he appears for what? Bhaktanam. So one may think, Vishwatma is everywhere. He is there in everyone's heart. He is there in your heart, my heart. So why is not appearing? Why Krishna is not appearing from within us? Bhaktanam abhayankara. So Krishna appears specifically to protect his devotees. So because he wanted to protect Devaki and Vasudeva and wanted to give his mercy to them, so he appeared to give them abhayadan. Avivesha bhage namana anaka dundubhe. So Krishna first appears in the mind of Vasudev. So then what was the effect on Vasudev? Sabibhrat paurusham dhamam brajamana yatharavi durashadoti durdasha bhutanam sambhuvaha. So, Savibhrat Paurusham. Vasudeva was carrying Krishna now in his mind. Savibhrat Paurusham Dhamma. So, Vasudeva's mind is described as Dhamma. What is the meaning of Dhamma? Dham means holy place. Any place where Krishna manifests his name, form, pastimes, paraphernalia becomes Dhamma. So right now, our heart is filled with anarthas. So any heart which is empowered by Krishna, when Krishna appears within the heart and empowers a devotee, then that heart of such a devotee becomes Dhamma. Savibhrat Paurusham Dhamma. Just as Vasudeva was carrying Krishna in his mind, so if a devotee is carrying Krishna's plans in his mind constantly, how to spread Krishna, how to spread Hare Krishna movement, how to serve the Vaishnavas, how to expand this mission of Srila Prabhupada, what better ways I can have to expand Krishna's mercy in this world. So if your heart is constantly meditating, thinking about Krishna and Krishna's plan, and your heart becomes a place for Krishna to reside, that heart is known as Dham. That mind becomes Dham. And what is the result of this? Durasado ati durdharsha bhutanam sambhavaha. Durasado, such a person becomes so effulgent, so powerful. Durasado ati durdharsha, even those who do not agree with him, even those who are demoniac and asuric by nature, they are overwhelmed by seeing him. Such a person becomes unapproachable for demons because his mind is filled with Krishna and Krishna's plans. Just as Vasudeva carrying Krishna, if we carry Krishna within our mind constantly, rather than thinking about so many anxieties of this world, so therefore I say, there is no point doing chinta. Better do chintan. Think of Krishna. And that is more important. And think of Krishna means what? Thinking of plans about how. So various types of meditation are there. There is Leela Dhan, Nama Smaran, Leela Smaran, Rupa Smaran and Seva Smaran. Four types of Smaran we can have. So if constantly our whole morning, our whole program in ISKCON is centered around these four types of Smaranam. We begin our day with Rupa Smaranam and Nama Smaranam and then here Bhagavatam class, Leela Smaranam. Then full day we have chance to do Seva Smaranam. Only problem is when we sit down to do one smaranam, we are thinking of another smaranam. While chanting, we are thinking of seva smaranam. While doing seva, we are thinking so many rounds are left. So if we can just stick to that smaranam while doing that, then it will be better. Otherwise, it appears that Hare Krishna movement is maranam. So difficult. So better we stick to one type of smaranam. So that heart becomes dhamma. So there is devotee called Talicha Mahapatra. He was a devotee of Lord Jagannath. So one day the king came to take darshan of Lord Jagannath and the pujari said, give a Mahagarland, give a Mahagarland. And this Talicha Mahapatra was bewildered because no Mahagarland was there. One last garland was there and he himself had put it on himself. So he was wearing that Maha. So he thought, if king comes and no Maha is there, I will be killed. So he took his own Mahagarland, what he was wearing, and put it back on Jagannath. And king came, he asked for Maha, so he took out that garland, gave it to the king. King didn't know that this was Maha, Maha, Maha garland. So he came back and in his palace he was smelling and thinking, oh Lord Jagannath is so great, so wonderful, and suddenly he saw one hair in that garland. He was thinking, how can Jagannath have hair? So he immediately called the pujari, he said, nonsense, how this hair came? So he, Talicha Mahapatra, was a sincere devotee, but he got bewildered. And suddenly it came out, Lord Jagannath has developed hair now, you don't know? He said, what the hell is going on? He has hair, tomorrow I will come and see that hair. So Talicha Mahapatra went to his room and he was sleeping and he couldn't sleep. He was totally bewildered. He started praying, my dear Lord, tomorrow I am going to be killed. Because king is going to come, suddenly I got fearful, I just spoke, you have to protect me, save me. So full night he was chanting and thinking of Lord Jagannath and praying to the Lord. And the Lord just appeared to him in his vision and said, "Don't worry, for your pleasure I will do something. Because you are always worshipping me nicely, you are always thinking of me, I will protect you." And next day in the morning, he ran after getting up, Talicha, and he opened the darshan and he saw that Lord Jagannath had developed long hair. And he was in ecstasy. He came, again closed the door and was waiting for the king very eagerly. So the king came. King said, "Okay, where is that hair?" Talicha said, "You go in and see. You have doubt, not me." So he went inside. King saw the hair and he came out and he told Talicha Mahapatra, "You are such a big rascal. We have taken glue and stuck hair on him, right? How could you do that? Artificial hair you have put on him." Talicha, "I have not done anything, you can check." So the king went and started pulling on the hair, thinking that this is some artificial hair. And he was pulling and pulling, and suddenly some hair came out and blood started flowing from Jagannath deities. And the king got bewildered and he offered obeisances, and the Lord spoke, "Actually this Talicha is a very sincere soul. He is worshipping me always and I am pleased with him, but he made a small mistake. And because you were supposed to get on his case, you were supposed to punish him, and he was praying to me, I had to protect him. So I manifested my hair just to save his head. And therefore, you please spare him. He is a nice sincere devotee. He is always meditating on me." And then that hair of Lord Jagannath disappeared. And that was the only time, only moments, and no one saw that. Only the king and Talicha Mahapatra were there. They witnessed the hair manifesting Leela of the Lord Jagannath. And that was only with this specific purpose of protecting his sincere devotee. So Durasadu Ati Durdharsha means, if a sincere devotee takes shelter of the Lord, no power can harm such a devotee. The Lord will make all arrangements to protect this devotee in any condition, even at his own expense. That is the mercy of the Lord. So here Vasudeva has Krishna in his mind, and Durasado Ati Durdharsha means, although the danger of Kamsa is there, but Vasudeva need not fear. And although Kamsa has threatened that he will kill anyone who manifests his killer from his family, but there is nothing to fear. Bhaktanam Abhayankara. Devaki should not fear. Vasudeva should not fear. Durdharsha, Durasada. Even those who are Durdharsha, those who are Dhurt, who do not have good motives, they want to kill Krishna and Krishna's devotee, they cannot touch devotees of the Lord, because they are protected by Krishna. He is there in that mind, because that mind has become Dhamma. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada, he would also say this very clearly, that when you are preaching this mission, be fearless. We are preaching on behalf of Lord Chaitanya and we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear. Someone said to Prabhupada, that Prabhupada, Narsingadeva appeared to kill Hiranyakashipu. Will he also appear now to kill the demons in this age? Prabhupada said, in Kali Yuga, why Narsingadeva has to appear? The demons are already dead because of their material desires. So we have to revive them. And that is our process, by distributing this holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Srila Prabhupada ki.